Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to InfertileIF, the podcast. This is episode 356 called Carrie Croft. All right, guys, I wanted to tell everybody that in the name of normalizing the conversation around ART and IVF and all the different ways you can create families through science and love, my two children's books are available at my website, which is infertileafgroup.com. The first one is called Work of Art, and the second one is called Beautiful Bird. They're two totally different family stories, but they're same illustrator, and I wrote both of them. They are very cute, and I would love for you guys to check them out. InfertileAFGroup.com. If you do, let me know what you think. And thank you so much to everybody who's purchased them so far. Work of Art came out last year. Beautiful Bird is new and it's available for pre-order. So go to InfertileAFGroup.com and check them out now. Also, we at Fertility Rally are always welcoming new members. You can come join us at any time. We have 4 to 5 different support groups every single week at various times with different hosts. We have IRL and virtual events. We have 3 private Facebook groups, and we are the worst club with the best members. We have over 300 active members right now, but we've helped thousands of people and supported thousands of people since we launched in 2020. So check us out at fertilityrally.com and on Instagram at fertilityrally. If you're interested in checking out a group before you commit to anything, that is totally fine. Just shoot me a DM at InfertileAFStories on IG or at fertilityrally on IG. Okay, today we are talking to a total badass. Her name is Carrie Croft, and she is an infertility, surrogacy, and child loss advocate, and also an entrepreneur. And she is passionate about helping families coming after her, especially in the world of surrogacy. In fact, she launched a workshop called Find Your Dream Surrogate to help people find and connect with surrogates without going broke or losing their minds in the process. So we are going to get into all of it today with Carrie, including her years of fertility treatments, loss and heartbreak, having her son, and then eventually having her daughter via a surrogate. I had the best time talking to her. And without further ado, this is Carrie's infertility story. Carrie, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you so much for doing this. I was very excited when you reached out and wanted to share your story. I always love to start with the question, have you always wanted to be a mom?
Yeah, I would say just, you know, I always just envisioned my life that way. I always envisioned it being easy though, you know, like never envisioned it being sort of this Herculean effort. And I've always been very much into business and a working person. So like, it wasn't like I had this vision of, you know, staying at home necessarily, but I always wanted to be a mom.
So what did you know about your own body and about, you know, sex education and all that growing up?
God, what a great question. Nothing. I mean, you know, it's funny. Like I remember having like maybe 1 or 2 sex ed classes. They were super awkward. And I think you were so focused about being awkward that you weren't even paying attention. And oddly enough, what I remember the most about it was Mrs. Ireland telling people, and this is even about sex education. So I'm like, how did she even wrap this around? She was like comparing a hairbrush to a toothbrush and how you should much rather share a toothbrush with someone than a hairbrush.
What?
Yes. And I'm like, how is this in sex education? Because probably back in that time, you're not getting super detailed either. And you're probably trying to fill time. I have no idea. That's what I took from it. I
remember that's your takeaway. Brilliant.
Yeah, never forgot it. And I, you know, a couple little birds and bees thing. But yeah, I mean, not a ton. Just that, you know, we make babies and that's what happens and it's all good.
Right. We always talk about how for me and so many other people who've been on the show, it was like, it's so easy to get pregnant. Don't get pregnant. Don't get pregnant. And that was the emphasis, which I get as, you know, these are high school students or younger or whatever.
But I think it really did a lot of us a disservice, because when it came time to actually try, it was like, oh, this actually is takes a lot of things have to line up for, you know, a healthy pregnancy and birth to happen.
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Okay. So let's talk about you when you started to build your family. Let's go through the chronology of it. So what happened?
Yeah, the chronology, I got married and when you say started trying, we weren't not trying. And I just never thought, I will say this about my body. I never thought I would be like someone to get pregnant easily. I don't know, because I'd been on the pill for so long. You know, I just in my mind, that could be mean nothing. But when we got married, oddly enough, I did get pregnant really quick, which really surprised me. And we got married in December, got pregnant in March, and got pregnant right away. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. And so we went for the gender, to find out the gender at like, I think 20-ish weeks. And we went into the appointment. We were so excited. And I remember I was like, you know, jumping up and down. We were trying to get the baby to like, you know, reveal itself. And as we were laying there, and my OB, who is now a great friend of mine, she was putting the gel on my belly, and the room was dark. And you know how you stare at them, like you want to stare at like whatever technician it is. You just stare at them because you want to get some kind of
your totally. Look.
And so all of a sudden, she's like staring at a spot for a really long time, and then it like I just had like the sinking. I'm like, she doesn't want to, like, what's happening here? And she's like, you see that right there, like that's her brain, and it's a girl, so we knew it was a girl. And she's like, she's missing her cerebellum.
No.
Yes. And so at that moment, you know, everything comes crashing down. You go in for gender and then you leave, and you're sitting on a park bench between your mom and your husband. They're both crying. I was completely in total shock. They like whisked me away to another room to do blood tests to like further diagnose what was going on. And I knew my OB was like pretty, I mean, not that she even needed to be candid, like she was missing a very critical part of her brain. So we ended up delivering early. And that was, you know, a choice we made, obviously, which is also just extremely controversial, and why I'm so adamant that it's your body, your choice. I mean, it's, no one should ever have to make that choice. Mm-hmm. And so that was a whole devastation, you know, you layer that devastation and that guilt on top of the diagnosis. And it was just, it was a really hard time.
I'm so sorry that happened. Can we unpack it a little bit more though? Like, what did they tell you? That's obviously not compatible with life. And did they give you options? You know, you can deliver early as you did, or you can, you know, terminate for medical reasons, or what did they tell you? What were they sharing with you?
Yes. So clearly you could do nothing, right? And so what could happen could be the baby could pass away in vitro. The baby could live outside for a while. Like no one can tell you exactly what that's going to be, but we had like maybe 2 weeks to be able to terminate early. And so my OB, her husband, was like a neonatal surgeon. So he would see the babies after they came out. And like, she was very great with me in terms of like, you know, if you go to research this on the internet and you find, she's like, this isn't going to be a good situation. Like, I want to be honest with you around what this is.
And it was right. Like, don't go down that Google rabbit hole, because you'll thinking that you know, find all this
like,
stuff,
you know, be skipping around, and like, it's going to be this one in a million thing. Horrible. It was a horrible decision to have to make. And I wouldn't wish it on anybody, you know? And so it's like, then you have the question, like, why did that happen? So the next step is to get your chromosomes tested to figure out if it was like a de novo, which is like, it just happened out of nowhere, or is there some kind of chromosomal issue within us that caused that to happen? So we had the testing done. And as it turns out, my husband has a balanced translocation, which for the people, the folks out there who have dealt with that, I know way too much about the balanced translocation. And even spending so many years researching it, it still escapes me. It's still, it's just a wild, wild thing when your DNA, all of your DNA matches fine, but like two of them got a little mixed up, but they still make the whole. And then when you go to procreate, it's a shit show. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, if you do have that situation and you get pregnant, it will terminate itself early. Like, it won't normally go that far, you know? So that's what I was told, but that was not the case for us. So we delivered her at 21 weeks, and it was just horrible.
So sorry. What else can you tell us about that time and just navigating that loss and that hardship?
I think what would be most beneficial for your listeners is, you know, the navigation of the grief. You know, if I put myself back to that time, everyone's getting married, everyone's having children, and you have these ideal visions of the kids playing together and being in the same kindergarten class. And when something like that, when a bomb drops like that in your life, and then everyone else's life, it's still happening. And so, you know, you're going to get the call from your best friend that she's now pregnant because you guys were trying together. And there are there's two paths, I think, that I have heard when I go on these, when I have these infertility conversations is, you know, a lot of people kind of shut down and they don't want to be a part of the baby showers. You really kind of go into this very isolated, lonely hole. And some people have to do that. Like, it's part of their grief process. And I remember what I made myself, and I don't know if like that was the right thing or the wrong thing, but I made myself continue to participate in my friends' journeys because I just felt like, I don't know. I remember thinking like, I'm not going to let this get the best of me. I'm really sad, but I mean, I love my friends. I'm happy for them. But my point to that isn't to say you should do that. My point is to say, listen to yourself.
Yeah.
Just do the thing that feels right to you, because if they are your friends and it's not okay for you to be there, they're going to understand it.
100%. Yes. You know? That's exactly right.
Yeah. And it's knowing there's duality there and understanding that you can be really sad for you and you can be happy for them and you can protect yourself in any way that you feel like you need to at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel like there's no wrong answer. It's like what you said, you have to do what feels right to you. And it might be different, like week after week or even day after day. Like one day you might feel okay going to a baby shower, and then the next one you're like, absolutely fucking not, you know?
Yeah, not it.
So tell me, how is the grieving process? And as we know, you know, grief never really ends or leaves you, right? Like, does it still hurt to this day?
Well, honey, that's like the beginning. That's the beginning of the story. So we've got more on the grief track.
Okay.
Yes, it absolutely does. We've gone through a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
And okay. So tell me what happened after that.
Okay. So this happened. And then you just think, okay, well, we'll eventually get pregnant. And I think just to boil it down for your listeners, in my mind, looking back, I was not a great egg maker. I was not this very fertile woman. And when you have someone with a balanced translocation, you need to be very fertile and very consistent with pregnancy, because you're going to rip through miscarriages. And a lot of people do when they have a translocation. So what was going on with us was I just wasn't getting pregnant. And so we started down the IUI and then the IVF, and I wasn't making a lot of eggs. And then it's like, well, what's the point? It's like a statistics game, right? So we had tried without success for years, and I started building my fitness business, and I decided, well, I'm never going to have kids. It's just not in the cards. And so I end up building this really successful fitness brand here in Columbus. And I thought, well, okay, this is my baby. This is going to be it. And then I went to Bali when I turned 40 for a 35-day like immersive yoga training.
Cool.
And yeah, I highly recommend it. And I, you know, I still had this, we had tried sperm donation. We went to like small group, large group adoption. I mean, we're talking like, I am a relentless, I didn't just sit on my laurels. I mean, I tried everything. And of course that takes a toll on your marriage.
Yes.
It was an absolute clusterfuck.
Can you tell me a little bit about the marriage piece? Because I've been very open about how it was really hard on mine too.
Well, we ended up separating for a year. This was actually more recent to the story. It will absolutely destroy your marriage. I'm just not going to even like mince words. It's when you go down this path of infertility, if you don't, I guess here's my best advice. And I'm not one to like, it's not like I did it perfect by any means. Like I'm just, if I had to tell someone, it would be, you're not grieving. You're not going to grieve the same way, especially if you're in a heterosexual relationship. Your husband is not going to understand what you're going through the way you are. And so to give them some grace, but also educate them and communicate what you want and what you need and get therapy and have someone mediating or helping you see the other person's perspective, because it is really, really hard to be married in general. And it's, you know, like, it just is, it can be a beautiful thing, but it's a negotiation with another human being every single day of your life. It's like, okay. And then you put this on top of it, which really, let's be honest, is the real reason why you're getting married, is to have a family together and to not be able to accomplish the goal. Then you have infighting, you know, and then it's like, oh, you know, and so it can be very, very devastating.
So yeah. I feel like there's, again, like kind of two ways. Like, I've talked to so many people where it was like, it brought my partner and I so much closer together. And I'm like, really? Cause I was on the total opposite side of that. Yeah. So I do think it kind of can bring people together, but it can also obviously tear people apart.
No, and for people that like it brought closer, good for you.
I know. That's what I say. I'm like, wow, that's so impressive. I like to have that experience.
I don't think that would be the norm if we all were being honest. And I think I would give a little bit more, I would say maybe it eventually brought you closer because you went through that hard time and then you kind of came out of it. Like, that would make more sense to me. But again, everybody's different. And so maybe you do have those people out there.
This episode is brought to you by Anito. For years, clinical labs were the only way to get a clear view of your hormone levels and ovulation patterns. But for many people in the trying to conceive community, especially those with hormone imbalances or conditions like PCOS, frequent lab visits can be costly, inconvenient, and take up a ton of time. This is why I'm excited to tell you all about Anito, which is unlike anything else out there. Anito is an at-home fertility monitor that tracks all four key hormones, estrogen, LH, FSH, and PDG, on a single test strip. Instead of piecing together fragments of info, Anito offers a full, clear picture of your hormone health through a data chart and clear insights that are unique to your body and your cycle. Anito is designed to work even when cycles are irregular or conditions like PCOS are in the mix. With lab-grade accuracy, Anito helps pinpoint your unique 6-day fertile window and helps predict and confirm ovulation. And that's really helpful because anovulation is one of the leading causes of infertility. The best part? Anito is used entirely at home with results available in just 10 minutes. Anito's AI-powered system learns from real hormone data and adapts, offering personalized insights that bring clarity to the process, confidence to decision-making, and a real sense of peace of mind, especially when so much else can feel overwhelming. And now, here's an incredible offer. The Anito Starter Pack is available for just $89 with the code INFERTILEAF at anito.com. That's INITO.com using the code INFERTILEAF. Thanks, Anito.
So anyway, so when I turned 40, I was like, well, wait, so I started thinking of it from like a statistical perspective. I'm like, okay, so if I had 20 eggs and he has to be able to make normal. It became like this, like, I'm like, okay, if I can talk him into an egg donor, let's just see if we can get any normal embryos. Because if an egg donor can make a really good batch of eggs, we can do that. And I was totally fine with the egg donor. Like, he was not okay with the sperm donor.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
That's also a very, very, all of these things we've gone through have their own heavy, crazy, like, conversations, which I'm happy to like get into with anyone at any time if they reach out. But you have to be on the same page with something like that. It's like,
yeah,
that's another devastating, like, if you just aren't aligned, you're like, okay, let's just, I want to shut her up right now and we're going to go do that. Absolutely not. You have to think through it. I had 10 years, 12 years to think it through. So for me, I was just like, oh, hell yes. I mean, I was excited about, I feel this kindred spirit towards this person who doesn't even know who I am, that she gave me this gift. So anyway, talked him into that, which was not easy. And then I was like, if we get normal, we're going to implant one, you know? And so it happened.
So you're testing all the embryos.
We tested them all. We ended up getting like 11, I think. We got some really, I mean, again, it's statistics, right? You have more eggs to get more right. So we had my son, Dane, who is like the absolute apple of my eye. He's 6 and a half.
Okay.
And he's just has been this incredible, incredible miracle in our lives. Uh-huh. So, you know, we end up, which is crazy, after Dane was born, long story short, we did separate for a year. I think it was just the toll that it all took. I mean, it was just everything. And we ended up getting back together and we're like, well, we should, you know, have a sibling for Dane.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to clarify, Dane was egg donation and your husband's sperm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Correct. And so then we implanted another embryo. It was a girl.
Same batch.
Yep. Same batch.
Okay.
They're totally biologically connected. And I went in for my 16-week ultrasound and there was no heartbeat.
Oh.
Right. So we ended up delivering Hope. We named her Hope. And the first baby we named Angel. I forgot to tell you
Aww.
That. And then, yeah. So, you know, I was older at the time. And so we had the conversation then around like, was it me? Was it my age? And my OB was like, well, I wouldn't tell everyone to try again. He's like, she's like, but you're very healthy. You're so in shape. Like you, I feel like you can carry your own child. Like there's who's to say that it was, who knows what it was. Right. But then you have your age working
sure.
against you.
How old were you at this point, Carrie?
I was 47, 46, okay. 47.
And so how old were you when you had Dane?
44.
Interesting.
So I'm also okay. like a mom over 40 advocate too. Like there's
love that
there's a lot of layers here, right?
Yes.
So I had brought up the conversation about a surrogate once this happened with Hope. And my husband was just, he's like, no, it was such a foreign concept to him. And so we ended up implanting another embryo and just, decided to try one more time. Well, quick story about when I was pregnant with Dane, I had gone into the emergency room. Everything was drama. I mean, it was so drama. Oh. It felt like a urinary tract infection. They found okay. kidney stones, but they also noticed I have a short cervix, which sent off alarm bells, right? Because short incompetent cervix could mean you're not going to carry the baby to term. So with mm-hmm. my history, everybody was freaking out. They were going to put me on bed rest. Luckily, my doctor was like, we're going to put you on bed rest at home. And I ended up carrying him to term completely fine.
Wow.
So I tell you that because with this last embryo transfer, when I went for my 20-week,
anatomy scan.
The doctor, he was just very brash and harsh. And he was like freaking out. He's like, your cervix is, he didn't have any background of what I had gone through before. He's like, you're well on your way to losing this baby. We need to get you to the hospital. I mean, it was just like,
oh my God.
I went home and like literally was back in the hospital in 30 minutes.
Oh my God.
And so I started to try to like, I'm like, okay, pump the brakes, talking to the resident. I'm like, hey, can we go back and look? Like I had a short cervix before, so clearly it's still short. What's different about this? Why are we? So my doctor comes in and we start talking about doing a cerclage, mm-hmm. which they're very controversial because you don't even know if they help. The conversation.
Were they talking about bed rest too?
Yes.
Like, and, okay.
Yeah. And so when we had talked about it with Dane, we decided not to do a cerclage. They don't even know if they work, et cetera. Well, this time it was like, well, we just want to do everything we can. So I decided to do it. And that's a decision that I will always regret.
Oh.
So I left 7 days later. I'm at a friend's house and I feel this gush. And I'm like, that's not good. And there was water. So I rushed to the emergency room. My sac had ruptured and I was then going to be in the hospital for the duration of the pregnancy, if I could keep the pregnancy.
Okay.
And so if you just use common sense, you'd say, okay, well, you know, they hit the, like something happened, you nicked the sac and the sac ruptured, right?
Because when they did the cerclage, can you explain to people who might not know what a cerclage is?
Yeah. So a cerclage is basically when, if you have an incompetent cervix, short cervix, they'll go in and they will create like a stitch to sort of like get it tighter in there. There's a lot of controversy around whether it, you know, whether it works or not. So did that cause the rupture in the sac? I mean, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah. So
yeah,
I end up in the hospital for 2.5 weeks and things went sideways. We delivered Jade at 24 weeks and she lived in the ICU for 16 days.
Uh-huh.
So we lost her, in May 21st.
Oh my God. So, I'm so sorry.
No, I appreciate it. So we lost three girls. We lost Angel, Hope, and Jade. And so after that happened, my husband was like, man, you know, you have carried this family on your back and he's like, you need to go get your surrogate. And I was like, really?
Mm.
And so I did. And I went and didn't get an agency. I was like, I went and researched all the agencies, like 5 or 6 of them, which just blew my mind how expensive things are and how much the surrogate gets paid. And I'm like, you know, I'm a business person. Like, let's pull back the curtain here and figure out what the model is. And so I did that. And I was able to find my dream surrogate in like 2 weeks, which is incredible. And it's just been this fantastic journey. What a crazy relationship we have with her family still. And we had our little girl, Kyle.
Oh.
she'll be turning two. So, okay. Yeah. And so what I did was I created this Find Your Dream Surrogate workshop.
Right. Yes.
Because I'm so passionate about all of this. Like if any of this resonates, I want someone to reach out to me. I will call, I will talk to you. I will hold, you know, sit with you, specifically this surrogate situation where people feel like it's for other people, that they can't afford it, that it's too out of their reach, but yet it's a way for them to become a parent. So I just broke down my journey. I broke down all the steps I took, all the people I dealt with, all the details, and I put it in a workshop.
Right.
For people to, they can use it. And if they want to enlist me to help them find their actual surrogate, I can do that too.
Right.
So yeah, I'm very, very passionate about it.
I love that. And I love that, you know, like so many of us in the space, you know, you went through complete hell and then used your experiences and your knowledge to help people coming after you, you know? So tell me a little bit more about Find Your Dream Surrogate. What are like the pro kind of tips or takeaways? If you can give us a couple, at least, you know, Absolutely. That you learned for people, sure. you know, who are listening, because obviously, like you said, surrogacy can be so overwhelming. There's information everywhere. And sometimes you just want someone to tell you what to do or how to do it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. My biggest thing I would tell someone listening is that you can use an agency if you want. I'm not anti-agency, but you absolutely can find a surrogate in your orbit without one. I don't recommend doing that without a roadmap or really understanding all the details. But when you're looking at something like this, someone to carry a child for you, it's the most altruistic, selfless thing someone can do. And so starting with your core and kind of expanding out only makes sense. You're going to find someone who is in it for the altruistic wanting to help you. And yeah, are they going to make a couple extra bucks? Sure. So I would say have the confidence and the belief in yourself and your infrastructure in the orbit that you can find that person without an agency. And then make sure you have a really, really good attorney that deals with family law and the adoption and the donation and the surrogacy law, not your uncle who happens to like freelance, you know, nothing like that. You have to find some, because they are going to be the glue that sort of binds all the other infrastructure that you need to put in place to create this system for yourself, which would be the correct escrow company, the correct insurance policies, you know, getting the right surrogate that has the right alignment with you. And so there are so many steps, but oddly enough, I it wasn't that complicated. Like at least once you sit back and go, oh, okay, can it be complicated? Sure. I mean, you can get, we had one miscarriage. It was devastating, but you have that in the contract, like that you're going to try three times. You know, you just need to set this thing up tight. Mm-hmm. And that's what that's what the workshop is. I mean, I even have the actual people. I've had podcasts in the workshop with people who I dealt with, my attorneys, my insurance, I want everyone to be able to walk the path to their dream surrogate without feeling financially devastated too.
Right. You know, so when you talk about searching at first, was it like via social media, or did you send out like an email blast to your friends and family, or like, how did you begin the search?
Great question. So what I have in the workshop, there's two paths, and you'd probably look at me initially and go, oh yeah, she'd put it all out there. I mean, I've got a podcast, I had a business, I had a pretty robust network. I was very private about my infertility journey. I'm very private about my stuff. And so my OB was kind of toggling back and forth with me like, well, wait, you have this amazing community and you have all these people that you know, why wouldn't you just put it out there? I'm like, I don't know how to explain it, but I cannot do that. So we came up with this sort of an A-list, an A-team, where I picked about five or six people who I knew that had access to pockets of high concentration of potential people. Mm. So it wasn't like a bestie, and not that you couldn't tell your bestie. I mean, you tell whoever you want. But I had like someone who was in medical sales and I knew she hit a ton of hospitals. I had the labor and delivery nurses because I knew them, obviously. I had high risk. My OB has become a great friend. She was a huge advocate. So you start to market yourself that way. And then I mean, I'm a salesperson, right?
Right.
So you have to like be able to market it. But then there's this other angle. People who just want to put it out there, more power to you. Use social media, use email lists as part of it, but you also need to create the A-team. because there's nothing more powerful than having people who love you or know your story galvanized in an effort.
Right.
There's nothing more powerful. So I would say having those two things would be
ideal. I'm curious, and I don't know if you want to even get into this, but why do you think you were so private about your infertility? Because you do seem very extroverted to me and like so smart business-wise and so much savvy.
That's a really good question. No one's ever asked me that question before.
Hey.
Let me think about it. Why was I so private? Pride?
Okay.
I don't know. Like I just felt very vulnerable. Like in the moment, I had an emergency C-section. Actually, I laugh because if you don't laugh, sometimes when you think about these things, you'll cry.
100%.
I had an emergency C-section to deliver Jade.
Oh, okay.
So that just added, you know, so I mean, and we had started this process pretty quickly. I was in such a like puddle emotionally. I think pride and just protection of the story. I don't really know. I'm going to take that one with me today because I don't know why I couldn't just put it out there. It's such a great question to ask. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I would say, and to that point, I would, even though I couldn't, I would nudge someone to, because it is smart and it does make sense in today's world. But I would say, like, you know, just how people are private before they make their pregnancy announcements. It's just, there's something very personal about the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, and I do think that, again, like we were talking about earlier, going to baby showers and whatnot, this is one of those things too, where you have to do what's right for you. Maybe you don't want to share it with people, or maybe you do. You know, I was the kind of person where after I was going through, you know, several miscarriages, I was like, I'm not going to wait until people I'm pregnant. I want them to know that I'm pregnant, because if I have a loss again, I want them to be there. I don't want to call them and be like, I'm having a miscarriage. And oh, by the way, I was pregnant, you know, I wanted them there from the jump.
Yep,
but that's just me. And I totally respect people not wanting to share it as well.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
But that's such a great way to do it, because you know what? You're just like taking it. You're putting it out there. And that's another, you know, another thing. I was so private about the egg donor for so long because I felt like until I could talk to Dane about it, my biggest fear has been them reacting a certain way and managing that. And I just wanted to be on the path where I would kind of talk to him about it before, like certain people knew, but I was like, we had this April infertility series and I finally like just said it. And I'm like, now I don't even like, it's just, it's gone now. It's like, doesn't even, you know, it's like you hold on to these.
It's not under lock and key anymore. It's like out in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what the hell. I think maybe with like, when you go through infertility and you went through it for so long, the way I did, and how isolating it is and how you're on this island and it's really, you don't really have a lot of people who know how to hold space for you, that you really do learn to kind of protect them and protect you and like keep it out of the conversation. Maybe that's like an armor that I put up.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I'm curious. So have you talked to Dane about the egg donation?
Yeah.
And okay. Can you tell me how that went? And the reason I ask is because I don't know if you know, I have a children's book series called Work of Art.
Yeah.
And the first book is about, you know, my son finding out he was born via IVF. The second book just came out. And then the next one I'm working on is an egg donation story. And, you know, all under the kind of mission and belief that I have that we need to talk about this early and often and normalize it and not make it a big thing. So I'm curious how you approached it with your son.
So it's always been like before bedtime when we're laying there together and we're just talking about like how lucky we are and of all the moms and all the kids in the whole universe, we got to be together. And isn't that amazing? And so I would just slip in like, and can you believe like somebody actually let me borrow an egg to have you because I couldn't do it myself. He's like, what? They let you borrow? And then it's like no big deal. Right. And so I won't inundate him with it. But he'll ask, what did he ask me? I think it was last night. He asked me about vagina.
He's vagina.
Like, how do babies come out of the vagina? They're so, they're small. And so like, you know, he'll have these just random questions.
That's a great question. Yeah. So wait, he's 6 and a half. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, they don't have anything to do with like, but anytime there's a little segue that I can make it not such a heavy lift for him.
Yeah.
Then I'll say something. Yeah. And then it'll just kind of progress as he gets older and as Kyle gets older.
Yeah, absolutely. Was there anything that like totally surprised you while you were doing your research and going through it on your own?
No, I mean, it surprised me how much they charge. It surprised me how little sometimes the surrogate gets. And it's just, you know, it disappoints me that so many people feel alienated from it because of the cost of it. And it just doesn't have to be. It's still going to cost you money. I mean, for sure, it's definitely going to cost. But I think I probably saved some of these agencies I talked to. It was $150,000. Uh-huh. And there were some out there. There's one girl that I just talked to. The agency was $250,000.
Uh-huh.
I think it was like who Paris Hilton used or something. I mean,
okay,
you're always going to have your high end and your middle.
Sure.
If you take the reins on something like that, it's possible. Like it's possible to spend half of that.
Half of that? I was going to say specifically, was it like 50% or how?
It was half. I would say half because really like to break it down, you're probably going to pay your surrogate 45 to 60, depending on experience and whatever. Unless you're talking like, you know, the Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashians, you hear these crazy amounts, but like mainstream Midwest, then your legal situation will probably be in the range of like 10 when it's all said and done. Then you've got insurance policies, escrow. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely an investment, but I mean, if you're going to spend 80 instead of 150, this isn't like my business by any means. This is something that is more in the like altru, like the bucket of like wanting to give back. Yes, it costs something, but like for me, it's like it's there for when people want it and need it. And the conversation comes up. I just feel like such a call to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. Yes.
And a lot of it's like with anything, right? It's like whether it's finding a surrogate or plug in whatever scary thing it is in your life that you're trying to figure out, people always question, is it, you know, can I do it? They don't believe that they have the thing or the ability to do it. And you can do the hard, can do this stuff.
Right. And you said that you still have a good relationship with your surrogate.
Oh yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that and why that was so important to you?
Oh yeah. Her name's Sky. And I don't even like, she just was such an incredible person. And so was her husband, Jason, and their kids. And
how did you ultimately find her? Was it through your A team?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep,
absolutely. So one of the things I recommend doing getting a relationship with your OBGYN and any sort of OBGYNs in your vicinity and putting the marketing material in their exam rooms is huge. So doing that is super, like we had so many leads come in from that. And then this one friend of mine who I knew, she had a nanny who had a night nanny company. And so I decided to tell her about it and give her the marketing material. And she also struggled with infertility. So she was like all a go. And so as it turns out, the person who owns the night nanny agency, this Sky worked for her. And she had been,
okay.
She had been a surrogate once before.
Yeah.
And so there was such a vibe with her, man. I mean, she's just such a good person. And so I've had them on the show. I've had her on the show twice.
Jason
came on the show recently, talked a lot about like being the spouse of someone who goes through something like that, which has, you know, a whole nother set of
interesting
stuff. So you can go to the Carrie Croft show and you can find actually in April, there's a whole bunch of great stories there and they're included in that.
Yeah. So by marketing materials, this is you marketing your, like, I'm looking for a surrogate. Like, is that, that's what you put out there basically?
So the way that I recommend doing it is having two different pieces of marketing material. So you have the one that's like, what's in it for them that you would put in sort of the exam rooms. And it's not about you at all. It's like, okay, you know, loving UA couple is looking for a surrogate. And then you have like, you know, kind of the benefits of being a surrogate and then to contact. And my OB was I also talk about this in the workshop, having a buffer, like having your point man who would take these emails and field them for you, especially if you're in sort of an emotional bind and you just don't feel. So Dr. Shepherd was managing the emails that would come.
Oh, wow.
Which was really great. She's a really great friend of mine. And
yeah, that's great.
So Sky wrote and she's like, I don't know if I'm too old and I have to talk my husband into letting me do this again. And clearly then it happened.
Right. Wow. Okay. So Carrie, before we wrap,
I'd
love to ask you, you know, if somebody is new to infertility, they're in the thick of it, they're in the shit right now, you know, thinking about exploring a surrogacy journey, or they've come to the point where that's, you know, the next best step. What would you tell that person?
take your time with those big decisions. Make sure you're aligned in your gut. That's the first thing we talk about in the workshop is, are you emotionally there? Are you aligned? Is your partner aligned? These are really big decisions that are going to impact your child. So whether it's donor, whether it's surrogate, like it's, those are big things, big conversations that like are going to be there when the child gets older, and you want them to feel proud of their journey. You want to feel proud of their journey. So make sure you're really ready for that stuff, and then believe in yourself. Knowledge is power. Get all the information that you can and do the thing. You know, just keep moving forward, Reach out to people like us, you know, find those pockets of badasses who literally like are a knowledge, like geyser of information, inspiration, education, and just lean heavily.
And connections, right? Yes. Like I'm sure you have every connection in the book in the surrogacy world at this point.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm here to share. I really am. Like I will take the time. I mean, I have a Calendly in my Instagram and I will talk to, people set up 15-minute calls and I just talk to them. I'm not asking for, I don't want anything in return. If the workshop works for you, fantastic. It's very reasonably priced. You can take it and run. If you're interested in me working with you one-on-one, that's a higher price tag, but it's still so reasonable in terms of the big picture. But I'm here to talk to you. I've had women call, like literally on calls with me where I get nothing back other than like giving them everything I can that's relevant to their situation. And I'm so happy.
Yeah.
So
that's why I love being a woman, because we do this for each other. Yeah. And it's so important to me too, that we have to help each other out. We have to lift each other up. And I love that you're doing that.
Amen.
All right. Thank you so much to Carrie Croft. Check her out on IG and her Find Your Dream Surrogate workshop. You can find all the info in my show notes or on my Instagram, which is InfertileAF Stories. Also, go snap up those children's books. Work of Art is the first one, and the second one is Beautiful Bird. They make great gifts for anybody in this world of TTC or ART, IVF, IUI, all the things. I would love for you guys to spread them around, donate them. My website is infertileafgroup.com. You can find them there. And you can also always go to my Instagram. And if you have any questions, DM me at infertileafstories. Also, please check out Fertility Rally if you need a safe place to land. We're always welcoming new members, no matter what you're going through. We've got people going through everything under the sun. We've got all different kinds of people all over the country and the world. As a matter of fact, we've got IRL and virtual events, 4 to 5 support groups per week, and just so much support. It's really what I wish I had when I was going through all the shit I went through. So check it out, fertilityrally.com, and on IG at Fertility Rally. Thank you guys so much for listening, sending love, and I will talk to you soon.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.